Our worship theme today is a question. Will the fire change you? I should do a deep dive into that question, explore its depth and complexity and nuance, except there is no nuance. I can answer the question in a word, and I did. The first word of my title is the answer, yes. But for kicks, I added two more words, just to complicate things. Of course, the fire changes us. By definition, fire is physical matter undergoing transformation by heat. Molecules are pulled apart and put together in new ways, from whatever it was to carbon and hydrogen and water and who knows what all. Nothing that catches on fire, nothing remains the same. So the two words I added, but how, is the real question here. Will the fire change us? Yes, but how will it change us? That implies we have some choice. What kind of change will we allow? But before we poke around in the embers of that question, we need to complicate it some more, especially now, because fire is a metaphor applied to more than the Holy Spirit. The COVID-19 pandemic is a raging fire that is changing us. That fire is not the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit is absolutely present as we suffer in this fire, but the COVID fire is a manifestation of evil. Other fires are burning in our lives right now. The most apparent one to this congregation is the fire of unexpected loss and grief. That fire is not the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit is certainly with us in this fire of sudden and unwelcome death, but I will not equate that fire with God's good spirit of life. Other fires are burning in our country, literally and figuratively. There is the fire of racial injustice, still deeply woven into the fabric and structure of our society. The fire sparked in Minneapolis this week, and now spreading all over the country, is not just a story of a couple bad cops and one victim and a mob mentality getting out of hand. It can only be explained as the dry tinder of systemic racism lying on the ground all over the land, lying at our very feet, which all of us have conveniently ignored for too long, have failed to really listen to those impacted by it, and that spark became a wildfire. Again, God is not absent here. The Spirit is present in this fire. God is close to those who grieve or are oppressed, but I would not equate that tinderbox with the fire of the Holy Spirit. The life-giving Spirit of God is in opposition to a lot of what this world experiences as out-of-control fire. But we know from the Pentecost story in Acts that the Spirit does at times act like fire. Those disciples in the upper room in the reading we heard had seeming tongues of fire fall on their heads, and they were empowered, they were transformed. But how do we know one fire from another? Because we must distinguish between them. We must discern when to open ourselves to holy fire and when to fight unholy fire that threatens to consume us. Yes, but how? I suggest we walk toward the unholy fire. Yes, we head toward the flames with purpose and intentionality and preparation. We prepare by opening ourselves more fully to the transforming fire of the Holy Spirit, and let that Holy Spirit fire burn within us, so that God's Spirit might be let loose to tame the wildfire that's all around us. In other words, we fight fire with fire, spiritually speaking. That's exactly what forest firefighters are trained to do when a wildfire is out of control. They know to walk toward the inferno, carrying other fire with them. And they intentionally start other fires, controlled burns that essentially burn up all the available fuel, so when the wildfire reaches that area, there's nothing left to feed the flames, and the fire goes out. Maybe there is a lesson on living in the Spirit in a world that's burning up with a spirit not of God. Any one of us are at risk of being consumed by the unholy fires raging in our world right now. You may justifiably be angered by the evil, the injustice, the oppression. That's okay. Stay angry at that. You may be overcome with grief by all the unnecessary suffering in this world. That's okay. Lean into that grief and let grief do its work. You may be incensed by all the inhumanity, all the poor excuses for moral leadership by those in leadership positions. That's okay. Don't look away. Stay incensed. But you still have a choice in the matter. We still have options. Will we be consumed? Will we lose ourselves in the flames because we forgot who we were and only added more fuel to the fire? Or will we receive this as an opportunity to open ourselves more fully to the Spirit of God dwelling within us? Will we carefully carry and tend to the holy fire within us, laying our small selves and our egoistic desires on the altar and allow God to change us with this divine fire? What I'm describing is not mystical escapism. This is the way a life in Christ works. If we're not intentional about tending the Holy Spirit fire within, if we do not purposely open ourselves for God's transformation, we will be consumed. Whether it be the COVID-19 fire, or the fire of racism and injustice, or the fire of political corruption and abuse of power, or the fire of untimely deaths and ravaging diseases, or any of the many flames of general human suffering and cruelty, that we are at risk of being consumed. If all we do is stand back and gaze open-jawed at the inferno, the fire may change us all right, but it may not be the change we need. We may well cave in to the depths of despair and lose the battle. We may well let our demons get the better of us and become callous and cruel ourselves. On the other hand, we might also choose to open ourselves to the transforming fire of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that looks like Jesus. Spiritually speaking, this is fighting fire with fire. This is clearing away the flammable underbrush, all the stuff lying at our feet that shouldn't be there. And with the carefully aimed and intentional fire of the Spirit, it gets cleared away, leaving a firebreak of compassion, a firebreak of willingness to listen, a firebreak of a choice to be present with those who suffer, of a dogged pursuit of justice, of a commitment to love sacrificially. Then, when the unholy fire gets close to us, it has no fuel remaining. It can only spit and sputter and go out. The firebreak must be intentional on our part, but it is not our doing. Transformation is what the fire of the Holy Spirit does when it's kindled in us and allowed to burn. Ruth Haley Barton, in her book, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership, a book I'm reading right now because I need to, says this about the transforming work of the Spirit, and I quote, "In the process of transformation, the Spirit of God moves us from behaviors motivated by fear and self-protection to trust and abandonment to God, from selfishness and self-absorption to freely offering the gifts of the authentic self." And then, just as my good Mennonite duty-bound work ethic is about to kick in and say, "I can do this, I should do this, I will do this," she shuts me down with these words: "This kind of change is not something we can produce or manufacture for ourselves, but it is what we most need. Lest we are tempted to view this as a glorified self-help project, it is important for us to embrace the spiritual transformation as a process that is full of mystery. It is a phenomenon outside the range of what human beings can accomplish on their own." In other words, it's the fire, it's not us. It's about accepting the fire, being in a place of solitude and silence, soaking in Scripture, meditating, listening. It's letting our souls be warmed by the fire that looks like Jesus. Fire that fills us with compassion for the suffering and a genuine tenderness and love for the other, even the other who might look like a threat. Our prayer today is not, "God, give me a little boost so I can manage to do this." Our prayer is more simple than that. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, holy fire, and burn in me, and burn away hatred and bitterness and self-absorption. Come, Holy Spirit, come.